Let us pray. Heavenly Father, we just want to tell you we appreciate your love for us, your goodness and mercy. As we're assembled here tonight in freedom of speech and thought, Lord, to worship you in spirit and in truth, we thank you for that. This has surely been a glorious age in that respect, Lord, yet we know it's closing off. And we pray, Lord, ere the day of grace closes, the lamp of God goes out, that our hearts will be so full of it with the Word of God, that there be no darkness whatsoever in our little land of Goshen, so to speak, but traveling on through light, the pillar of fire by night, and the pillar of cloud by day, the rock following us, Lord, may we just cross over into that great beloved land you have for us, how to be serious and sober, bearing and forbearing, and always, Lord, being Christians as we ought to be. And help us, Lord, in the study of your word, that we might not be defensive. We may not be lenient where we should not be lenient, neither should we take stand, Lord, where we should not take stand. But help us by illumination, enlightenment, Lord, to so speak that it would truly be what you want said. In Jesus' name we pray, amen. You may be seated. Now we're looking at the same question we looked at last week, and it's number 4 in the series on woman's place in the Word, or the sisters in the Word. And the question was asked, are women spiritually inferior to men, and therefore more sinful? And the answer I gave was an unequivocal no. And the reason for giving an unequivocal no is that I would kind of liken that to, or give you a little illustration. Let us say that I have a racehorse hitched to a plow, and I have a draft horse hitched to a plow. Now, the racehorse is unequivocally inferior to the plow horse as concerning the pulling of a plow. And on the other hand, the plow horse is inferior as a racer concerning a race. But let them both do their jobs, and then it is only a matter of what they are born with. Now, that's true. There's genetics involved there. The same as there's the placing in the Word of God by predestination based upon foreknowledge and election. Then there's the training. Then there's the guidance as to what horse will win the race or plow the best. So what we're looking at here then are two kinds of horses. And both are good horses. Both were bred for a certain job. And according to what is in them, that would be gift-wise, and what their training is, and what their guidance, that's the jockey and the driver and so on, what the guidance at that time would fully qualify the best one to win the race or to do the most and the best plowing. Now, we're going to just look at 1 Corinthians 9, 24 to 27, to perhaps get a little better understanding of what I'm thinking about. Now, know ye not that they which run in a race run all? Plain English, if you're running in a race, everybody's running in the race. But one receiveth the prize. So run that you may obtain. Every single person in the race of God can obtain, lay up treasures in heaven, and fully perform that which he is asked to perform based upon his qualifications that are given by God. And every man that striveth for the mastery to win the race is temperate in all things. Now, you'll notice right there the major factor is temperate. So don't go swinging way this way, way the other way. Don't undertrain, don't overtrain. You ever remember that fellow, the beer barrel Louis, the Italian guy that used to drink all the beer? He came in as big as a house rolling around to box. He won a few battles, but I think Lewis plumb destroyed him. Is your mind going that far back? I'm just sure I'm the oldest one in the congregation on that one. Remember that? Wes? Yeah, Wes knows about it. Wes is 5 years younger. He does remember some of those things. All right, you got to be temperate. You can't come out offbeat and be extreme, see? Now watch. Now they do it to obtain a corruptible crown, but we a corruptible. Now watch what he said. I therefore so run, not as uncertainly, so fight I, not as one that beats the air. Now the question that we have about women here shows an uncertainty, not in the questioner, but in the women is a general rule. If you don't know your place, your qualifications, and how you're to run, you ain't going to get off the ground. And that goes for the men. See, we're all in the race. And we all have to know our place and what this is all about. Now he said, so fight I, not as one that beats the air, but I keep under my body. Now, like keep the body up in the air and off balance. That's your senses and all your reasoning. And I bring it right into subjection, close up all the channels that would influence me toward error, and without being a bigot or wildfire. See? Meek, mild. Lest that it be any means. Now watch. When I have preached to others, I myself be disapproved. Now Paul is mentioning here that he has to really watch himself as pertaining how he does what he is doing as a Christian to win the race. And notice what he says. It has to do with his preaching. Now, with that, I would just go to 2 Timothy. And it's the second chapter in verse 15. What I'm looking at. Study to show thyself approved unto God. Well, first of all, let's read a little further. Verse 14. Of these things put them in remembrance, charging them before the Lord, that they strive not about words to no profit, but to the subverting of hearers. See, they're temperate people. They're not wildfire. They're not wingding. Watch. Study to show thyself approved unto God, a workman that needeth not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth, but shun profane and vain babblings. Notice what he called these reasoning and things. He's got to keep his body in control. Science, so-called babbling. just running off of the mouth against the things of God. Now with that, we go to Galatians, the first chapter. So you get the picture that I'm driving at here. 1 and 8. Paul is speaking concerning his revelation. But though we, myself, or an angel from heaven, preach any other gospel unto you than that which we have preached, let him be accursed. So my thought here, in reading this, as I'm reading this with 1 Corinthians 9, 24-27, and relating it to these two animals that are not in conflict with each other, but are sort of in conflict with the groups, like the best racer as a horse and the best draft horse as plowing. And certain things depend upon whether that animal is going to be winning a crown. Now, the same thing applies here in the Word of God. The woman must know her position. She must know her attributes. She must have the proper training, the proper help, and all of these things, and so must every single person. So, what we're looking at, we ask the question, what was the male created for? The draft horse was created to pull the plow. The race horse was meant to race. Maybe be a, not exactly a horse in the army, as a charger, but might be one to take a message, born swiftly as a messenger. In other words, it's got his purpose. What was the female created for? How do they function independently? How do they function together? How does it all work before God and with God for His glory? See, that's what you're looking at. It's not just a question, say, well, I can get Scripture to show the woman's inferior. I can get Scripture to show the man's inferior. Or I can get Scripture to show you that neither one's superior. See, so you get... Just do the best we can to understand what the Word of God says to get the proper attitudes. Now, as we read again certain portions in marriage and divorce, especially in the typing of Christ in church, it will appear to those critical of women or those unwilling to subject their minds to revelation that women are inferior and sinful. Now, that's what we seem to have a thought that has come across in the church, not here, but with the message, which we don't particularly like. That there then, from what we read, from what Brother Branham said, there is indeed something wrong, and no matter how perfect the redemption of the woman is in Christ, that women are somehow not thoroughly one with Christ and can't be subject to Christ as is the man or without the man. Now that seems to be what we're looking at in the question here, some of the undertones and overtones. Nor does Brother Branham say that man doesn't need watching, but just the woman. He doesn't say that. He doesn't say the woman makes the mistakes and men don't. Nor does he say that women must do everything a man says and can't look or can't make it, rather, without the man. He just lets us know that God views each one in the light of the positions he placed them, and therein they must abide. And with the light that he sheds upon the path of each of us, you can see that there are warnings, because the warnings are necessary, the same as if a person were training the horse to race. Many times that man has to get that horse out of certain little habits the horse has got into, and that goes for human beings too. Now, we're going to read, again, excerpts from Marriage and Divorce, and I'm going to just read what I've underlined in order to cut it way, way back and get on with the rest of the subject that we were looking at here. Now, he says, if Jesus said, go back to the beginning, there was only one pair of anything on earth, that was Adam and Eve. They were joined by God alone, one female horse, one female parrot, one male, and so on. And then he says here, it just takes one interruption to spoil the entire program. And at the time, there was just one of everything. Then came where it was man and woman, one of each. Then it was that the woman caused the separation of the lovely home. It was not a cherubim that bothered the earth. It was not Adam that threw the home out. It was not anything else that threw the home out and the whole thing out of continuity, but a woman which was Eve. Now this is statistical. This is not rabid black against white racism or sexism. This is simply a factual account. The woman, not the man, broke the covenant. Now that's the original breaking. The man broke it too. She broke God's covenant. Because why? She stepped across the border of God's word. Now, we see being that the continuity is broken, then the lifeline was broken. And also the timeline was broken. That's where you get the understanding that man wanted to go to the tree of life. It was too late. He could not become immortal. So the timeline was completely broken right there. Thrown into a spin-off for 6,000 years until it could come back. All right. And of course they died in the meantime. And millions have died since. The covenant was broken. Everything was shattered. What caused it? A woman. Again, statistics. Again, statistics. That's what broke the covenant. Now, if you want to read that, it's in Genesis 3. Now then, out of that came the covenants. Man was made to rule over the woman by God's word. Now that, again, is statistics plus the definition of the rule. The statistics are, God has placed woman under the covenant of the rulership of man in the word of God and not outside the word of God. You follow that? Because that's how I'm sure Brother Branham meant it. You can twist it if you want to. When she broke God's word, God made her, she was no more co-equal with him. She was co-equal in nature, you know that, she was, before. When she broke God's word, God made a man to be a ruler. If you want to put that down, she was no more equal with the man. She was a breaker of God's word. Notice, why did she do such a thing? Being in that high order, she was right with the man, co-equal with him. Now, the reason she did this, she was not in the original creation. Statistics, fact. Not speculation, and not judgment. Fact. You've got to go to fact. See? She is not in God's original creation. She is a byproduct. And he says concerning this byproduct, which was formed in order to be in a fall, here's what began to happen through the fact that she became or was a vessel that was designed in a certain way and did fall. There is nothing designed to be so deceitful as a woman that's deceitful. There cannot be anything else. There's nothing made to be that way. Also, there's nothing that can be so easily deceived as a woman. Now, the fall proves this statement to be true, the fall in the beginning. Now, what we're looking at is not looking at women and say, aha, I know a sister. She's so much smarter than that man, bless God. He looks like a fool spiritually. Longs at her. Shut up! We are not talking about that. Now, until we begin to get our minds where Brother Branham's mind was, we are a bunch of apes. Spirit speaking. This is a statistic. We are not talking about sisters. We are not talking about everybody. We are talking about Eve who fell. And she did it. Statistic. Complete data from God. Never mind your judgments. Never mind saying this, making jokes, or anything else. This is simply statistical. And as I've said before, this message, with its revelation of statistics, will turn like cardboard and destroy you if you can't roll with the punches. Because you'll come right back to questioning God and trying to make a fool out of God. I'm trying to get us to the place, and I'm a little bit rough, to just get where we can shut up and relax. And shut our big fat mouths and turn off our stupid reasonings and just know that as Brother Branham brought out, he's good, he's kind, he's loving, he's gracious, he isn't going to hurt anybody. And that he had a plan which this all types and is going on now, and he did it in infinite wisdom to display himself, and all the time we're screaming about a lovely God who displays himself, and we can't take this. You know what? We're sick. If anybody needs to start chewing on the trees of life, we do. Because we're pretending to look down on the other side, and we haven't even got anywhere near Jordan, spiritually speaking, to cross over. I'm not beating on you. I'm just telling you the truth, because all I got to do is preach and hit me and I hit every one of you. Because this is the greatest battle ever fought. To just let your thinking go, to appreciate the revelation of serpent seed and all these other things. And just realize what God has done. If we believe in a fully vindicated prophet, we can take it. Now, he said, there's nothing that can be so easily deceived as a woman. And he said, the fall proved it, because there was only two there. Make up your mind. That's a nasty one, isn't it? Now, if there are three, four, five, or six, we can sort of pass the buck. Well, that's only a fable. That's only an illustration. Then be my guest. I have nothing to tell you. Because I believe it's real. I got through the little reporter girl's ears off the other night. When she phoned, I said, well, I said, we're a little different. I said, we believe in serpent seed. I said, you never heard? We're like, no. Well, I said, the Bible distinctly said the seed of the serpent is going to bruise the head of the heel of Jesus. And I said, far as I know, and don't you believe he was a man? And it really happened? And who's the one that really did it to him? It's got to be a seed. Yeah, I never thought of that. A lot of things she didn't think of, she ain't going to think of either. You know why? Because she's butting her nose. Women shouldn't butt their noses. They got a right to be inquisitive, but you can't be that inquisitive. Now he said, the fall proves this statement to be true, that the woman was the easy one to deceive because nobody else was deceived and all creation was there. Now, you can't change it. That is statistical. Now, she ain't going to go to hell for it. Don't worry. She's not going to get put out of the book or anything else. You say, wait a minute. What about the man? We're going to get to that. And, of course, because this is a sexual connotation, which it certainly says, the woman has to say yes. As I said on Sunday, if a man rapes a woman, you should be shot. Billy Graham was just a little bit too kind. He said castration. I think he had the idea that they might have a temptation in their heart, and then they couldn't fulfill anything, so therefore that was worse. I think do what God said, blow them right between the eyes and cut the heads off. That's right. That's right. That's right. Women should be protected. And any man, I believe, that thinks different, there's something wrong with him. Now, seduction's a different story. Just get your eats for it and have a good time. Notice there's nothing designed to stoop so low or be as filthy about a woman. A dog can't do it. A hog can't do it. A bird can't. Animals are not immoral. Now you can see where Satan went. Because it's the truth. Again, this is statistical and factual, and don't let it bother you. In other words, we're not making a sexist principle here at all. And some difference and some fuss between the male and the female. We're looking at God's plan and how it worked. Now here we can plainly see the serpent seed, where it came in. There's only one place he could go to. How could the serpent have a seed? How could Satan infiltrate the human race? There was only one place he could do it. He couldn't do it with Adam. And he wasn't interested in the rest. He knew if Adam fell and Eve fell, the whole thing's gone anyway. So who's he going to get to? He got to the woman. That's the only one she could get to. Now notice, he talks of women's beauty, being a pretty woman. She can sway a man any way she wants to. Brother, ain't a bootleg joint down here gets the man, the pretty woman we talked to, walking down the street twisting herself, half-dressed. That's a deceiver right there. She's deadly with it. Absolutely deadly. You may question me about Satan being her designer, but that's the truth. Satan designed her. Now, it didn't mean that Satan was there forming her instead of God when he formed her. It simply means that she listened to him, and thereby he was able to play upon her as a reasoning human being, and as she listened, she just went his way. That's what happened. Now, the woman was ordained to be the reason for the fall of the man. Statistics. Factual. And he did. For this cause, a man leaves father and mother. The Bible is plumb full of the fact, if you're joined even to a harlot, you become one flesh. So therefore we talk of marriage and we understand the sexual union, so we know what we're talking about. Satan designed her, and he still does. Now, listen, for about 5 minutes he says, want to get your attention. Now he tells you what's behind this all. What is God? God is the great eternal. At the beginning, way back before there was a beginning even, he wasn't even God. Did you know that? A God is an object of worship. And there wasn't anything to worship. He lived alone. And in him were attributes. What is an attribute? It's a thought. That is true because that's all God was. An omnipotent, omniscient being. Nothing else was there. So what was in him? As attributes. Thoughts. Immediately, he could bring forth attributes into display because he was omnipotent. Brother Branham hits her right in the head. A thought. Now, you get something that will border on the lesson for tonight. Notice, he was his own attributes. He was a compilation of the fullness. And they were in him. That's all he could be. What was in him, he was. Even with God. Now, it was in him to be Father. In him to be God. In him to be Son. In him to be Savior. In him to be Healer. All these things were there, just displaying his attributes. In other words, they were there waiting as attributes to be displayed. You follow? Now this goes beyond statistics. This goes to revelation in the sense of what's behind it all. Now we're getting some revelation through the prophet. All these things are just as plain as attributes. Father, Son, so on. There's nothing out of order. You think God didn't see the end from the beginning? Certainly did. Nothing out of order. It's just as plain as attributes. Now he's talking about what happened here where women think because they're played upon by men, perhaps, and misunderstanding of Scripture, that they're inferior. No. It's all to display the attributes of God. And this is what it took. So, all right. In the economy of God, you now found fallen or unfallen a place that is vital to that creature. Now that puts the woman and the man equal value in creation. Right off as far as the plan's concerned, because one couldn't be there without the other. So we're looking at the necessity of the thing. God being a creator, a healer, or rather a savior, a redeemer, it was necessary that he predestinate a man who'd require redemption, and how's he going to do it? He takes two. Starts with both, wherein one is capable of falling previous to the other, and that one that falls first becomes the trap to the one who wouldn't normally fall except for the other. So now we see a series of events taking place where God is going to work out his will. Now he doesn't make her do it, and he doesn't make him do it. He puts them on a free moral agency and said, I've warned you, there it is. There's not a boy or girl sitting here tonight. You're how pure and how good you've been, but you haven't been warned by your parents. Don't do something and you did it. Fair warning. Don't go looking back in the garden and fussing. Take a good look right now at herself. Now he could not be just and make a man to fall. He had to put him on equal basis of free moral agency to make his own choice, but knowing he would fall. Sure, he knew he'd fall. He knew that. He knew he would be the temptation. He said, you're going to leave me for her. Now he can't be a savior unless something's lost. He can't be a healer unless something's sick. These things had to be that way. See, these things had to be that way. These things had to be that way. Statistics. Hard, cold facts. Why are you going to get a big club and beat God up? Couldn't change God's mind by stalking him? Getting mad, running off? Won't do any good. Can't change God's mind. This is how it is. See? God made them thus, so that his great attributes could be displayed. If there weren't any, he'd never been a savior. But we know he was. Even before there was a time, he was savior. Actually, in manifestation, it was all there. Just like you, when your great, 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 God knows how many great, 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 great grandfathers and grandmothers. You were there. And before that, you're in him. I said, I like that. Then why don't you like this? See, knowledge can't hurt you if it's the knowledge of God. And you stay temperate. And you run your race quietly with it. He was a savior. So there has to be something lost. How's it going to be? If he takes and loses it just in order to save it, then it doesn't do justice his judgment. That's exactly true. That's a kid's game. He couldn't send a man to hell and be just. He's kind, gentle, true, honest, and he's a great judge. Libra. Balancing. See, he'd be working against himself. So he had to put a man out there and put him on free moral agency, knowing he would fall. And the man in his own image. How could he fall? Now you're seeing day and night? So he had to make a byproduct. Something out of the original creation. Now you see it? See? There you come. Then that's what fell. He made it knowing it would fall. Now your wives have not fallen. Your girlfriends have not fallen. Your mother has not fallen. Your sister has not fallen. None of the women as you know them have fallen any more than the men have fallen. We are all fallen, and there's a purpose. See? And that's what fell. He made it knowing it would fall. And it's put over into the hands of Satan for a vessel of dishonor. Which means, well, not that the person's a dishonorable person, but it means that's where the thing is going to come. Now remember, God allowed Job into Satan's hands. Job came forth honorable. Where's honor bestowed today? You think on that. That's in the woman. She is a perversion of the original creation. She was made to deceive like she did Adam at the beginning, telling him that the fruit was pleasant, and so forth to deceive him and take him away the word. Now, she didn't tell him any lie about the fruit being pleasant. She got involved in the facts, the after the facts concerning this escapade. That's the way the church does today. Now notice we're heading right into type now. You gotta have it. And when you see type, this takes the pressure off the woman as a female. Because the pressure's not there now. The fall is over, period. We are seeing the results in the whole of creation. And we're seeing everything in type in the church and the bride and Christ and so on. So we're looking at that. She's made to deceive like she did out in the beginning. Telling him fruit was pleasant and so forth to deceive and take away the word. That's the way the church does today. Same thing. But then after that, he became a ruler to rule over her. Now what a difference in this day. And this day of conception. Of the conception of this day, rather, what he means. Instead of being her ruler, she becomes his God. Sure, she rules him. Now you can kind of well understand what I've been hitting at. By her beauty and her sex control, her shape given to her by Satan, the byproduct that Satan, from Satan, you know, formed her, she is sent to deceive sons of God, and she can sway more of them to hell than any other instrument of Satan's got. That's exactly right. I'm talking of the immoral now, not you sisters. We'll give you your place, right place, in a few minutes in the Word of God. It's here. It was in God's plans and beginning. Now, he talks about the fact of the modern day flapper being half naked, just as Satan and so on, that she'd become a goddess, just the way they had her back in the heathen days at the time of Paul at Ephesus. And we not knowing it, turn right straight to heathen worship again, to women, the same as they did. The very lowest creature on earth. Now, as Brother Branham's suggesting, and giving us an idea here, that the very lowest creature on earth is because of her being that low person. No, it's that she can sink to that low place. See, we're looking at what can happen. See, woman worship. She would sway men away any way she wants to. And not knowing all that beauty on the outside, hell's on the inside. Solomon said, her gate is the gates to hell. We'll talk about that when we hit the book of Proverbs again. Now, in other words, there is no limit to the potential of a woman being bad. In other words, you can go lower and lower and lower, and yet you can say the same thing about a man. And there is a great potential for the woman to be high, 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 exalted in the eyes of God as she serves the Lord. Brother Bass speaks of a spirit on the girls. They don't even know they have it. Then he goes on and he said, now you see the Nicolaitans, that's us today, the church, you see their doctrine. You see the teenage queens, they call them, the stripteases out on the street. You used to have to go to some vulgar show on the side to see a striptease. Just open your eyes, look out in the street. That's all you have to do now. The whole thing's a striptease, sure. What do they do it for? To tantalize, to tempt. That's the only thing she can do it for. She does it because she's filthy. She does it because she's made that way. She doesn't realize she's an instrument in the hands of Satan. Now the point is, again, you're looking at the fact that this is where it must appear, because this is where there's no other place it can appear. And this is how it's going to be done, because that's how it's done back in the Garden of Eden. In other words, you're getting more and more into the tail end where Omega supersedes Alpha, because Omega is Alpha that's come back to seed. And if you plant one seed in the ground, you might get as many as 1,000 seeds out of it. So you're looking for the multiplied thing. That's why God forbids her to teach His Word. That's right. 1 Timothy 2:9-15. I suffer not a woman to teach or to have any authority. See? 1 Corinthians 14:34. Let women speak, keep silence the church. It's not permitted them to speak. They're commanded to be in silence, as says the law. But today, what does the church do? They make her pastor, evangelist, when the Bible completely forbids it. And the Bible said that's what also the Old Testament law said. Making it run in continuity, the whole thing, Old and New Testament. Now you can see why I've said these things and done the things I've done. Knowing all this in my heart, brethren and sisters. I know, sisters, you've got your place. Just a moment. And a wonderful character that God can mold in you. But I'm just trying to speak out on the other side to show what you're actually from the beginning. In other words, the warning from the statements of God in His Word they must take and understand there is something in there that can be really, really dangerous. Because it is. Jesus told us to go back to the beginning to find it. And he took us back by the word. That's what we're doing. Now, they said Elijah was a woman hater. He wasn't a woman hater. He just hated women like Jezebel. He didn't hate real women. And Brother Branham said the same for him. Now, notice, after the beginning, after time, notice, that's an eternity way back there. Notice that the fall was made deep. After the fall, there was need to be another covenant. Now, this is going to stumble you. But I'm going to give you the scripture to prove this is the truth. And there again, we got statistics. Factual data we want to listen to. And heed it. Now, notice, after the fall, Jesus said, God, the beginning, made one of a kind. But after the fall, now, we're going beyond that. The covenant was co-equal before the fall. After the fall, then another covenant was made. Now, she no longer rules with him. Each must have a separate covenant. And he reads them according to what God said to the serpent, what he said to Eve, and what he said to Adam. Two covenants. Now, that closes the beginning of what Jesus said. It wasn't so at the beginning. So now, whether we want to realize it or not, there is a special distinction of the male and the female within the service of God. And nothing can change it. Now that's the one place you gotta watch, because they are in the garden doing the same thing. From that time on, they could not be co-equal doing the same thing. There was a separation. And the separation still holds good. Right in the realm of the scripture, because that's all we're interested in. We don't care what the world is. Now, we're after the beginning. We got another covenant. Another covenant. Now, there's a covenant for the product and a covenant for the byproduct. Notice the fall brought trouble and death to every creature of creation, making a difference in all nature. Notice what Jesus said. From the beginning, it wasn't so. No, now it's not so as it was at the first. You see, the beginning's over. Now there's a double covenant. First it was just a covenant. Adam and Eve co-equal. One man, one woman. The woman sinned. What did she do? That threw them all into debt. And God made a covenant by that, another covenant. And here is it in Genesis 3:16, which we read. Well, 3:16 is the fact that the that she would bring forth royal seed, and the man would have to labor and so on. Now the world is to be repopulated. Not by the original creation of God, like in the beginning, but by, not by original creation, but by sex desire. That's when she's told she has to have multiple births. Differently, more than one child. Now that takes care of the beginning, doesn't it? In the beginning, there's only one man, woman, one male, one female. But when she crossed the line and brought sin, now the world's to be repopulated again by sex, not by creation, but by sex. Now we gotta watch that, because that's exactly what the scripture says. See where the woman's at now. Now, that's the way the world's populated through women. That's right. Women populate the world. That's right. They bear the children. That's the reason Jesus had to come through a woman. Now, this gives you why a woman bore Jesus. To bring back it back to its original beginning again without sex desire. He was virgin born. But hallelujah, there'll come a time when it won't be any more sex, but God shall call his children from the dust of the earth. Back like they were in the original. That's what the original was. Not through any woman, but through the molding of the clay, the cosmic light, petroleum, you'll create again like you did the first Adam. In the meantime, childbearing has to go on. It's predestinated. These are how the children of God come into this world. You can't do a thing about it. Jesus made this possible by God himself, making himself a man and coming into the world so he could die through the woman. Now is testing time by sin. Now you see, then after the beginning, something else introduced. And now it's going to shock you. Are you tired? He said, then when the double covenant was made by man and woman through sex, another covenant, not the original, was introduced. Polygamy in everything. After the beginning, polygamy is introduced both in man and beast after the beginning of the fall. God now secondarily sets a new nature again by sex. God created the first without sex. Do you believe that? Now it's another covenant with nature. He sets in it another order by sex. Second covenant, one male, many females. One buck. A whole a harem of does, and so on. One David, after God's own heart, with 500 wives, with 100 children born in 1 year by different women. A man after God's own heart, Solomon, with 1,000 wives. But notice now, it wasn't so at the beginning. Now it's after the beginning, and it won't be again either. The woman's done this, then she becomes what she is now, which is a bearer of children. And you'll notice in there, you've got a stigma of sex in there, which there is no stigma, as you will see as we go along. but it's stigmatized because it was wrong at that particular moment. The wrong one was it. The woman's done this, and she just becomes what she is now. David, the king which represents Christ. Now, see, you're going to representation again, typing. David represents Christ. Do you believe that? Christ is sitting. You're going to sit in his throne. And this David, a man after God's own heart, had 500 wives. See what I mean? David with 500 wives. Solomon with his 1,000. Solomon is the son of David in the natural, which represents Jesus Christ. The son of David and the son of David in spiritual. But that's natural sex life. That is going to be spiritual life created, coming up. See, that's the way it was at the beginning. But now in this life, we live in it now. Notice, don't fail now. Take it down in your hearts. But not one of those women could even have one more husband. He's the original creation, not she. Not one of those women could have more than one husband. But one husband could have 1,000 wives. Thus saith the Lord the Bible. That's true. You're looking at type now. All of these things that came in because of the fall, which was foreknown to God, absolutely according to his will to bring out his attributes, all this is here now too to bring out his attributes. Every man born of woman is born in death as soon as he comes. When he's born into creation of God, he cannot die. He's from the other tree that was in the Garden of Eden, Christ. Eternal life comes by the tree. Oh, you say she was a tree? Sure, he was a tree. He said, thou shalt not take of this tree. God said in Genesis back that thou shalt not take of this tree. Why, the woman is a tree. She's a fruit tree. You're the fruit of your mother. The fruit of the womb is you. That's right. And then the fruit of the tree of life that was in the Garden of Eden is Christ. Through the woman came death. Through the man in the original creation came life. To be born of woman is death. To be born of Christ is life. Get the idea. He's typing, you see, through here because of what God laid down. There's where you see the goddesses, where it went to goddesses, don't you? First, now he said, the first Adam and the first Eve type the second Adam and the second Eve. See the multiplication. Now, the multiplication of Adam and Eve was through sex to replenish the earth, but it wasn't so at the beginning. They weren't at the beginning. God made a male and female just like he did other creatures. But you see, because of the particular instance, we now have children born into sin because of this program which God initiated in order to make him a redeemer, which, in other words, a redeemer manifested, which redeemer he was, but could not be manifested except in this own particular way. Now, we went into Scripture last Sunday, read quite a few Scripture. How's your time on that? We went into Scripture last Sunday, and we read quite a few Scripture, and of course, because the emphasis has been too much of the time, that the Bible seems to indicate that women would be inferior spiritually and therefore greater sinners. We looked at some of the Scripture that, especially in the book of Proverbs, that we suppose that people go to, and one is that pretty rough set of Scriptures, over there in Proverbs, the 7th chapter, which delineates upon a woman who is a prostitute. And he said, my son, keep my words, lay up my commands with thee. That's the first verse. Keep my commandments and live, and my law is the apple of thine eye. Bind them upon thy fingers, write them upon the tables of thine heart. See unto wisdom thou art my sister, and call understanding thy kinswoman, that they may keep thee from a strange woman, from the stranger that flatters with their words. For at the window of my house I looked through the casement, and I beheld among the simple ones, I discerned among the youth a young man void of understanding. And what you're looking at here is this wise man teaching his son that the one great influence in his life that he's got to watch out is not to give way to sexual passion. Now, it's not wrong to have the passions. It's only wrong when you go this way. Now, amongst Israel, remember, they put away all the homosexuals. They destroyed the Canaanites who were homosexuals. Israel was basically, until the idolatry, maybe one or two, you know, that are bad characters, were involved in either being bisexual or homosexual, but I would say the majority, close to 100%, were heterosexual. Being heterosexual does not diminish the desire for the act. And so this one here, foolishly looking for a thrill, that he had no right to arrogate to himself went to a prostitute. And notice what it says. I'm giving you wisdom, says this man. And you say the wisdom that I'm giving you, thou art my sister, and call understanding thy kinswoman. And the big thing is to keep yourself from women, prostitutes. Keep yourself from messing up with sexual sins. Now that was the word back there. Now remember, and you got to understand this, that what was it that made that woman do what she did? A propensity toward it. Not that she wanted it, but the propensity was there. Now look, I'm not a kid anymore. And it took me a long time to just begin to realize, even with my own kids, although I didn't teach them too well, if I had to do it over again, I'd teach them like they never were taught. But I want to ask you a question. You that are rearing your children, little girls, right around age 10, 11, 12. We're particularly, and I'm just from experience, going back in my mind when you're in Florida. What made those little girls, our own little girl included, run down and make eyes at the boy that was selling gas at the gas station? He never came down to our house and ran looking at her. There he came to the neighbor's house and started looking. She didn't go there to learn how to play mumbledy pig, play cards. She went there because she was impelled by a, let's face it, a sexual nature. Now, you can get mad at me if you want, but I'm not some fool talking to you. And this is not a dirty thing. This is your knowledge of good and evil. Now I'm going to show it to you. The very thing that this man wanted here, he should have had in his own house with his own wife. Let's go to chapter 5. My son, attend unto my wisdom, and bow your ear to my understanding. And this is the preface to number 7. For the lips of a strange woman drop as honeycomb, and her mouth is smooth as oil, but her end is bitter as wormwood. Sharp as a two-edged sword. Her feet go down to death. Her steps take hold of hell. Now you tell me that a woman has to be a prostitute, I will call you a liar. And we've got them by the bushel. We've got them by the hundreds of thousands. It's called the oldest profession. Why? Now, some may have been forced into it. We understand that. But we're looking at this thing where it's overdrawn and it should never have occurred. Now look at it. He said, verse 6, lest thou shouldst ponder the path of life. Her ways are movable, that thou canst not know them. Devious. Hear me now. This is why Brother Branham could preach as he preached. Hear me now, therefore, ye children, depart not from the words of mouth. Remove thy way from her and come not nigh the door of her house, lest thou give thine honor to others and thy ears unto the crew. Let strangers be filled with thy wealth, and thy labors be to the house of a stranger. And thou mourn at the last when thy flesh and thy body are consumed, venereal diseases, AIDS. And say, how I've hated instruction, my heart despised reproof. You tell me they don't despise what's being taught today to try to help me get out of the mess. They hate you for saying it. We're going to do it anyway, and you're going to pay for it. And have not obeyed the voice of my teaching and inclined mine ear to them, then it struck me. I was almost in all evil in the midst of the congregation in the assembly. Drink waters out of your own cistern. Now watch the advice. And running waters out of your own well. This is sexual, whether you want to understand or not. We could take it apart word by word if you want to do. And let thy fountains be the first abroad, and thy rivers water in the streets. Let them be thine only, and not strangers with thee. Let thy fountain be blessed, sexual, and rejoice with the wife of thy youth. Let her be as the loving hind in the pleasant roe. Let her breast satisfy thee at all time, and be thou ravished always with her love. Plain, unadulterated language, sexual. Nothing wrong with it. It's a righteous act. Nothing wrong at all, as long as it is a righteous act that God ordained, which is sexual to the birth of children. In other words, you cannot do anything that would not result in childbirth, except at that time when a woman cannot be pregnant. Now we're looking at the Word of God. See? And wilt thou, my son, be ravished with a strange woman and embrace the bosom of a stranger? For the ways of man are before the eyes of the Lord, and he pondereth all things. His own iniquities shall take the wicked himself, and he shall be holden with the cords of his sins. He shall die without instruction, in the greatness of his folly shall he go astray. And he goes on, goes right back to the same picture. You're seeing again the factors from the Garden of Eden. This is the folly of why priests, and you can read Father Chinicky's own book, 50 Years in the Church of Rome, which he sometimes called 50 Years in Hell. And he knew priests who did their dead level best to remain celibate, even tried to emasculate themselves to get rid of their passions. You can't do it unless you're born to it. And every man and woman has a right to sexual intercourse and marriage under the right law, because even though it wasn't in the beginning, it took place. And today it is a righteous act before Almighty God. There is nothing sinful about what God has put within us. The only thing is the warning is there. It started there. And that's the greatest danger in all the world, is illicit sexual intercourse. You can say what you want. And Brother Branham categorically said the woman has to say no. That's why I said if a man does an act, then perpetrates an act upon her, they just take it on, shoot him. Get rid of him. See, I think you're talking. I am talking to him. I'm getting pretty old, but I tell you, if any man assaulted my wife and I could take a 2x4 and bash his brains out, I'd jump up and down his guts and shout glory to God. You say, Brother Vig, I don't like you. It's fine. You don't have to like me. Maybe I don't like you either. Amen. Don't give me that stuff, brother, sister. Don't tell me the Word of God never changes. You see where God can be loving, kind, and just, and then strike right back in man's junk? Why shouldn't he do it? How could he not strike back and be loving, kind, and just? Amen. Here he made woman some slop tin. But she can go that way. And I think a man can be a sloppier tin too by doing it. Now, I want to show you this. In spite of all those scriptures and the thing that I read here, I can't find in the 66 books of the Bible anything Brother Branham said that made any woman to think she's spiritually inferior or more sinful than a man. The fact that she has a propensity to go this direction, and certainly with a male, not a female or something else. And she is warned about it. And the man himself has the proper knowledge. There should not be these things going on in our lives. The whole human race, let me get this, I won't get finished tonight like it. The whole human race just before the flood, that's male and female, was exactly as it is exactly today. Now let's read what's going to happen in our day, and it's happening now. It happened before the flood in Romans, the first chapter, 18 to 32. For the wrath of heaven is revealed, for the wrath of God is revealed from heaven against all ungodliness and unrighteousness of men. That's the human race, period, not men masculine. This is not masculine. Who hold the truth in unrighteousness. That means to hold it back or hold it down. Because that which may be known to God is manifest in them, for God has showed it unto them. For the invisible things of him from the creation of the world are clearly seen, not being understood by the things that are made. Even his eternal power and Godhead, they are without excuse. Because when they knew God, they glorified him not as God. Neither were thankful, but became vain in their imaginations, and their foolish heart was darkened. Professing themselves to be wise, they became fools, and changed the glory of the uncorruptible God in image made like the corruptible man to birds and four-footed beasts and creeping things. Idolatry, see? And Brother Brand said idolatry today is with women, men and women. Wherefore God gave them up to uncleanness through the lusts of their own hearts, to dishonor their own bodies between themselves. There you are. Who changed the truth of God into a lie, worshiped and served the creature more than the Creator, who is blessed forever. How many men will sell themselves, their wives, their kids, and their church, and Christ, everybody, everything down the river just for sex? The world's... come on, you just... you got to see that, it, as I say, it's a righteous act before God, but what men can do with it, women can do with it, that's the bad thing. Because there's nothing you can't pervert. And for this cause, what? God gave them up to vile affections. For even the women did change the natural use into that which is against nature. What's the first natural use? Be married and have a good husband. The next thing, become a prostitute. The next thing, lesbians. Likewise also the men. Come homosexuals. Burn the desire one toward another, their lust. Men working with men that which is unseemly. And receiving in themselves that recompense of their error, which was meat. They must have had aches like we're having it now. And then what happened? Even then, they did not like to retain God in their knowledge. No way of going back to the Word of God. God now gave them complete order to reprobate mind to do those things which are not convenient. Now watch what happens, and it's happening today. Being filled with all unrighteousness, never mind the Word of God or anything, just get rid of it. Fornication, wickedness, covetousness, maliciousness, full of envy, murder, debate, deceit, malignity, whispers. You can't find one good person there, one good thing. Backbiters, haters of God, despiteful, proud, boasters, inventors of evil things, disobedient parents, without understanding, covenant breakers. There's the covenant again. God said, all right, man, you stay with woman. There's your sex outlet. Can't do it. Why? He said, I'll even give you several women. You have a harem. Oh, no, we don't want the responsibility. We just want to run around. Whoremongers. But Brother Man said, we know that polygamy is 1,000 times better than Hollywood marriage and divorce, but we know it's wrong. Why is it 1,000 times better than wrong? Because men then are responsible for every wife and every child. Now look what they're doing. Now they're the place where they don't even care for women. See? Now watch. Without natural affection, implacable, unmerciful, who knowing the judgment of God, that they which commit such things are worthy of death, not only do the same, but have pleasure in them to do them. So everybody's talking about the poor AIDS victims, they're martyrs. Are they? Hogwash. Just the few people that got the wrong blood transfusion. The rest, as far as I'm concerned, are getting what they're asking for. If I've got to ask mercy for them on the grounds that you can sin and do anything you want, then I'm going to have to ask God, let me fly. Let me never get sick, never get cold, never die. Go all the way and be completely stupid. You go back to the Garden of Eden. See, that's where it started. Now notice, particularly, at the exact time of the fall, God did not accuse or condemn the two involved, actually there are three involved, serpent and Adam and Eve, as to leave either one with an excuse. Didn't give either one an excuse. Not one of them. But meted out his judgment and covenants as compatible with the status of each in creation. According to each one's status, that's what happened. He did not accuse or excuse anyone or give preference. That's Genesis 3, 14 to 19. In Romans 8, 19 to 23, notice that redemption is set for all creation equally because all will be back in harmony with God through the blood and the rebirth. Romans 8. That talks about the sons of God. That was verse 19. For the earnest expectation of the creature of creation waiteth for the manifestation of the sons of God, male and female. For the creation was made subject to vanity, not willingly, but by reason of him who has subjected the same in hope. Now notice how God dealt with each one. Now not Satan and his seed. See, I don't know of any redemption for that. There's none. But for Adam and Eve, he dealt with each one as to proclaim redemption. Then nature itself gets redeemed. Because the creature was made such vanity, not willingly, by reason was subject to same in hope. Because the creation itself also should be delivered from the bondage of corruption into the glorious liberty, or the glorious liberty of the children of God. For you know the whole creation together groans and travails and pain together till now. Not only they, all creation, but we ourselves, even we that are born again, are waiting to be redeemed in our bodies. So there's going to be a complete redemption by the hand of God for fallen humanity. Now, with that in mind, recall what we read in Romans 1, 18 to 32. And go on to chapter 2. Now, here's the mess before the flood. Here's what Paul says now concerning us, all the world, in the face of a vindicated gospel. Because he is vindicated. Therefore, thou art inexcusable, O man, whosoever thou that judgest. The man that says the woman's inferior and a bigger sinner, and the woman says, yeah, I wouldn't be a sinner except for you. Shawing it back and forth, arguing back and forth as who did this and who did what. For wherein thou judgest another, thou condemnest thyself, for thou that judgest doest the same things. I've always said it takes two to tango. I never saw a woman have sexual intercourse with herself any more than a man could. Those are called self-abuse, other things. It takes two to tango. Men run women down. Yeah? Who was looking for it? Both were. They're both restricted according to God's word. And that's exactly what the Bible says. You blame somebody else, you're doing it yourself. You're judging somebody else, you're doing it yourself. We saw that in Pentecost. Swaggart blamed everybody, and he's doing it himself. I think he might have even been worse. I guess I think maybe you think I'm perverted, but I ain't. I think he is. Like a teenage kid or preteen. But we are sure the judgment of God is according to truth against them that commit such things. All this stuff back here. And thinkest thou this, O man, that judgest them that do such thing and doest the same, that you're going to escape the judgment of God? Do you despise the riches of your goodness and forbearance and long-suffering, not knowing the goodness of God, these repentance? And after thy hardness and penitent heart treasures up thyself wrath against the day of wrath and revelation of the righteous judgment of God, who rendered every man according to his deeds? To them who by patience, continuance, and well-doing seek for glory and honor and immortality, eternal life. But unto them who are contentious and do not obey the truth, but obey unrighteousness, indignation, and wrath. Tribulation and anguish upon every soul of man that doeth evil, the Jew first and also the Gentile. But glory and honor and peace to every man that worketh good, the Jew first and also the Gentile. For there is no respect to God of the persons. Respect to person with God, rather. God doesn't respect persons. No. That man and woman. As many as sinned without law shall perish without the law. Many sinned in the law to be judged by the law. For not the hearers of the law are just before God, but the doers of the law, and so on. When the Gentiles, which have not the law by nature, do the things contained in the law, these having not the law are a law to themselves. And he says here in verse 16, the day when God shall judge the secrets of men by Jesus Christ, according to my gospel. So, you can see here that God has included every single man under sin and every single woman. The women were a complete mess before the flood. The men were a complete mess before the flood. But where did it come from? It came from the fact that the woman was able to give herself wrongfully in seduction. Now that shows right there the male is the stronger character, and therefore he should be far more respectful toward women than he is. Absolutely. See? Now we consider Genesis 1:26 to 28, that is the when he made them male and female in the spirit. And Genesis 2:7-15 to 23, where they're made flesh and put in the garden. And he said, you're co-rulers and co-equal together. We can see Eve's physical nature. Now I'm going to read this. We readily see that Eve's physical nature and innate latent desires become a channel through her senses and bear upon her spirit, which in turn misinterpreted the word to her soul, where the decision was made to disbelieve God's word. Now, before she was placed in a physical body, there was no problem. When she was placed in a physical body, as was Adam, the problem began. Because in there was an innate, latent desire that could be aroused and was aroused by the wrong one. He got her attention by riveting her thoughts upon the word which he misinterpreted to her. And from that point on, she became a physical-minded person instead of a spiritual-minded person, and she went out of the way. And that's how it came with Adam the same way. Had she not been placed in a human body in the manner that she was formed, which she was, she would not have sinned. That's true. But being the glory of man, which she was, the best Adam could produce, which she was, the best he could produce, she was thus in a position to fall. That's what Brother Branham said. This is clearly seen by the fact that when she was in Adam, she was co-ruler with him, and even when placed in the physical realm, she co-ruled with him until her mental concepts took over and she fell by seduction. Now, whether a woman wants to admit or not, here is a fact. She is vulnerable in this regard the same as the male can be completely vulnerable in the other regard. In other words, she can be fooled, mentally seduced, and the man has no trouble being physically seduced. And he will pay, get rid of his own spiritual appetites to take on the physical, and many, many times. The woman is now seen as one uniquely unable to handle the word. That's true. Now, this is like a slap in the face. But I want you to just think this lady sitting here tonight. This command to God, strangely, is greatly in her favor. Because if she cannot handle the word, she eliminates Satan's trap, which is perverted word. Now, the men should have it that lucky. Any woman or anybody listen to a woman, you're gone. It's that simple. But your command to listen to men. Now, who are you going to listen to? So, you see, there's no spiritual inferiority here. She got to step up on this one. Because she's not responsible. She leaves her plumb alone. No preaching, no teaching. Just hands off. Now put the men on the spot. She was on the spot with Satan. Now men are on the spot with Satan. This eliminates the traps of Satan in her behalf. But where does it leave the men? Well, let's take a look at the men. If we can find this. 1 Corinthians 14, 34 to 37. Let the women keep silence in the churches. It's not better to speak. To be commanded to be under obedience is also set the law. And if they will learn anything, let them ask their husbands at home. For it's a shame for a woman to speak in church. All right. Now she's going to ask her husband. He had better speak as an authority of God, or he will answer on judgment day for betraying his wife. How are you leading your wives? When I hear some men and know that they're leading their wives even to the sexual things that are wrong, I wouldn't trust them as far as I could throw a bull by the tail to even say one word, even to pray or say one thing in my house. Drop dead is all I got to say to that stuff. Now, you women, you better smarten up. I'm teaching you the truth. You're off the hook. If you want to get off the hook, if you want to stay on the hook, just spout off when your husband's right. Now, you see where Eve was? Now, let's watch. You're off the hook. You want to get back on? Go ahead. Let's find out about men. Book of Acts. Chapter 20. I hear you very silent. I love that. All these keep silent before the word of the Lord. All right. Acts 20, 17th verse, Paul calls all the elders, gets them all together. He tells them he's going to be taken from their midst. And he says in verse 26, after he said, you'll see my face no more. Wherefore I take you to record, make a record this day, record it. I am pure from the blood of all, not men, but every single person. For I have not shunned to declare unto you all the counsel of God. He had to do it. He was responsible. He never had a wife. to help him. He's all alone out in the jungle. Take heed yourselves of the flock of God, all the flock of God of which the Holy Ghost made you overseers, to feed the church of God, which he had purchased his own blood. That's a tremendous commission. For I know that after my departing shall grievous wolves enter in among you elders with your men. They got to be males, not sparing the flock. And also you men, you elders of your own selves, shall men arise, speaking perverted things to draw away disciples after them. Ah, there you are. Woman's off the... If a woman wants it, she's off the... off the spot now. You're not on the mat. The men are. Women say, man can't teach nothing. That's right. But man can't teach you women nothing. God can't either. You're finished. Now, this is factual from the Garden of Eden. And remember, we're also typing male headship with Christ. That's a terrible, terrible responsibility. And woman as typing the church, in one instance, full of filth, with a husband as a denomination, and a true bride, virgins of Christ, with the Holy Ghost and a proper ministry helping. You're looking at the whole picture now, brother, sister, to get all the attributes of God. And remember, God's attributes in nature merely point out God. But God's attributes in the human being live out God. So we're in dangerous ground here. We think we can fool around. See? Revelation chapter 2. And 2. I know thy works, thy labors, and thy patience, and how thou canst not bear them that are evil. And thou hast tried them and say they're apostles. They're the evil ones. None but a bunch of liars. Not apostlesses. Apostles, men. 2 Peter. The second chapter. Verse 1. There were false prophets even also amongst the people. Even there be false teachers among you that privately bring in damnable heresies. And a woman can't teach. So who's teaching? Men. Who are bringing damnable heresies? Men. They'll even deny the Lord. Say no to God. He was the one that said no to God. Now the men say no to God. Denomination husbands. Heads. Tin horn preachers. You were lucky. You might have thought you had it rough. You know how lucky you are. You don't want to change places? You'll never have to answer for this one. Not a problem. Doesn't say you can't know the Word of God. Doesn't say you can't understand the things of God. Doesn't say that. Because you can't handle it, can't teach, you're not responsible. See? Now, we've got big enough debts as just ordinary people trying to live right. Why take on something we don't need? So, what I'm looking at is this. There is absolutely no difference between man and woman physically except in specialized areas given by God for the place of each in the economy of God and in nature. Neither is there any difference in the degree of spirituality or unspirituality in man and women and woman except in the special areas that God has designated to both. A woman can be just as fine a Christian as a man. These are rotten louse. She can blaspheme God. Man can blaspheme God. In the early church, Ananias and Sapphira, both blasphemed the Holy Ghost. Lied to the Holy Ghost and dropped dead for it. One does not have an advantage or disadvantage over the other. It is a matter of creation and position and dedication. That's all. A woman does what she's supposed to do, a man does what he's supposed to do. Be dedicated to her. Live the life. For example, Eve listened to the serpent instead of Adam. That was bad. Next she made a decision only Adam was allowed to make. She took a headship. Next she took further headship by initiating him instead of him initiating her. It's exactly true. See? Now, Now, she got out of place, which she didn't, and she got Adam out of place, and all of this was in the plan of God in order to institute his highest role, which was not creator, but redeemer. Now let's go to the book of Romans, the 9th chapter. Because this is what Brother Branham said, so I'm going to preach it. This talks about Israel. Well, let's go down there to verse 7. Neither did they, because they're seed of Abraham, are they all children, but Isaac, in Isaac shall their seed be called. That is, they which are the children of the flesh, these are not the children of God. But the children of promise are accounted for them for seed. Now, the promise of God to Adam and Eve was, you'll populate the earth. And Satan came around and made it a promise of the flesh. And the promise of the flesh is not the answer. It's a promise of the Holy Ghost. Now watch. For this is the word of promise. At this time will I come and Sarah shall have a son. That's where it's supposed to be. They would have created children. Every child of God is born through election. Now, now this one say, if Rebekah had conceived by one, even by her father Isaac, with the children being not yet born, he'd haven't done any good or evil, that the purpose of God, according to election, might stand, not of works, but him that calleth. Now that's the truth. It was said unto her, the elder shall serve the younger. As it written, Jacob I love, Esau hated. That's the Bible. What do we say then? Is there unrighteousness with God? They said, hey, this serpentine, that's the most horrible thing in the world. If God really did that, I don't want a thing to do with God. Amen. You never have and never will. No problem, sister, buzz off. Your boyfriend with you. I got no problem. You're dead. Well, I can't see that God would do this. I can. God's business. You simply just don't argue with God. Now, God's not unrighteous. He's loving, kind, and good. But he had to do this to bring forth his attributes. And remember, when we see it done in us, only then will we understand a beginning of the depth and the mercy and the love of God. Right now, we are into a head knowledge, which is just like pure brass at this point. But one day, it's going to be the pure gold of God, and don't you believe otherwise. For he said to Moses, I'll have mercy and will have mercy. Have compassion will have compassion. So then it's not of him that willeth, or of him that runneth, but of God that showeth mercy. For the scripture said unto Pharaoh, even for this same purpose I raised thee up, that I might show my power in thee, and my name might be declared throughout all the earth. For this same purpose that I have the serpent there, who did what he did, for the plan of God. Therefore he hath the mercy and who will have mercy, and whom he will he hardeneth. Thou wilt then say, why doth yet God find fault? For who hath resisted his will? True. True. I'm just like a man on a board. Like a chess man being moved around. Who said you weren't? It's God's ball game, not yours or mine. See, sovereignty is a very tricky word. Sovereignty in most people's mind means, somehow I can bend the arm of God. Sovereignty means you can't bend the arm of God. Said, all the earth keep quiet. Listen, neighbor, O man, who are you to fight against God? Shall the thing formed say to him the former, why have you made us? Women, can you say, oh God, why did you make Eve like you made her? Now relax. It's out of your hands. No beef. You're off the hook. See, that's why I say in this church, when young people get married, you better know who you're marrying, because you'll never divorce and marry and come back in this church. No way, shape, and form. Mm-mm. And you better guard your vessels, too, because it's a tough job. It's everywhere. Everywhere you go, there's enticement to fall for a woman. The big thing. You'll find how big it is. Why did God do it? Mind your business. God did it. The grace of God may be known. That's the thing here. Why did God make me this way? Just hold your peace. You'll find you get my age. He did a good job. Now, that sounds like boasting, but it isn't meant that way. If I maybe change certain things, I wouldn't bother. I just capitalize. Don't bother women if you think you're weaker vessel, which you are, this and that. Just capitalize. Capitalize. Why don't men go and hold the door open for the ladies getting out of the car? Women won't capitalize. Brother Branham tried to teach you. And the man wasn't attentive. She didn't know how to be a proper wife because her father had reared her. He said, just meet your husband with a nice frilly negligee. Look seductive. It's perfectly all right when you're married. Eve can seduce to her heart's content. No problem. Nothing wrong. This is the trap. You see, go right to the church. Spiritual fornication, which I haven't got time for tonight. We'll touch it later. Why have you made me this way? For my glory. Well, hey, that's a different story. I better learn about that. That my attributes might be seen in and through you. Well, hey, what's that all about? We've been given a message to pique our spiritual interest to a place of finesse. Because this is a taught bride we're thinking of. She has the mind age, never before. Hath not the potter power over the clay of the same lump to make one vessel to honor, one to dishonor? Now, not necessarily to destroy the vessel, but to put a pressure on it. Eve has a pressure on her, and Adam has a pressure on him. Just keep moving. What if God willing to show his wrath and make his power known and turns much long-suffering, the vessel of wrath fit to destruction? That's the Pharaoh and his bunch. And that he might make known the riches of his glory on the vessel of mercy. That's Moses. He fore-prepared unto glory. Even us, right today, we have called not the Jews only, but the Gentiles. Now then, get the truth of the picture that starts as man and woman, for it is no longer man and woman, but husband and wife, one flesh. Not divided flesh, one flesh. That's where the Word of God comes in. This is where we get to where we see male and female, not in a disproportionate spiritual battle, but a true union, one with another, with the Word and the things of God. Now, let's begin to see the male and female because they type the bride. Ephesians 5. Submitting yourselves one to another in the fear of God. That's before submission in marriage. Are you listening to me? This precedes wives, submit yourselves. Submitting yourselves. Here's the spirit that should be in us. Verse 18, be not drunk with wine. When is success to be filled with the spirit? Just happy, just goofing off in the spirit, so to speak. Just being so happy and you can't keep your feet in the ground. Speaking to yourselves in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing, making melody in your hearts unto the Lord. Giving thanks always for all things unto God, the Father, name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Submitting yourselves one to another in the fear of God. Wives, submit yourselves to your own husband as unto the Lord. Only as unto the Lord. Now, he's not your mentor to lead you astray and do anything he wants. This is in the Lord to keep you with Christ. For the head, husband is head of the wife, even as Christ is head of the church. Now, that's absolute, but it also goes beyond absolute to the essential. Absolute only if the essential is there. We're talking of the true things of Christ. Therefore, as the church is subject to Christ, let the wives to their own husbands, in everything that is right according to the Word. What about these women that moved to suburban, or they became suburban dwellers? They found that the price of the building was too high, so they hired out as call girls. And the husbands endorsed it. Fine bunch of scum bums the husband were. Talk about a wife being a scuzz bag, where are the men? This is not submit yourselves like some of the preachers running around. I've seen it. I've seen it in two boys I mentioned their names. A woman phoned me the other day. She wondered, could she go where her husband goes? Because I said, is he a real fine Christian? And go to church with him, but just keep in mind the true doctrine. Just watch down the road. Do your best to go to your own service at times. I'm trying to drive families apart. I've seen what those men do. They put pressure till the women leave. Or they divorce their husbands. They cause a mess. Come on. What would Christ do? You don't, you just, husband, sap. You know that word husband is a pretty pitiful thing, something like mother and father. You were sired by somebody, so here you're stuck by accident of birth, a couple of crud bums. I don't mean to hit you hard, but I'm just letting you know. Look, come on, don't let that play upon words, brother, sister. We're not here for play upon words because Brother Brown has took us back to the garden when there was no play upon words and no history. Now we're looking to where we really should be, and we're going to be by the grace of God. We are believers of the end time and the mind age, and we can and will be, some of us at least, bride. And we read out of Joel that the whole family's included, if you want to believe it. Brother Brown has said it. I never knew where he got it until I read it the other day to you. See, I'm very slow at getting things, but when we get them, we get them. Therefore, as the church is subject to Christ, let the wives be their own husbands in everything. In that order. Not everything as though the man had the answer. It's that Christ has the answer. The church is obligated to be that sweet, lovely person, virgin. Husband, love your wives as Christ loved the church and gave himself for that. He might sanctify and cleanse the washing of water by the word. How does he keep his wife in line? With the word of God. Not that she's going to step out of line. But you see, she's not to handle the word. She can't tell you what that word is on. Discuss it with you, everything else, but she's got authority on it. That he might present himself a glorious church, not having spot or ring or any such thing, that it should be holy without blame. So men ought to love their wives and their own bodies. Now remember, this is husband and wife now, not just man and woman in the garden. Not just co-rulers. This is really one flesh. He that loves his wife loves himself. For no man ever hates his own flesh, but nourishes and cherishes even the Lord of the church. We're members of his body, his flesh and his bones. For this cause, a man and his father and mother should join himself to one wife, and they too shall be one flesh. Not just co-rulers now, but they're one. If he has the mind of Christ and she listens to that mind, you've got one perfect, beautiful union. It must be in Christ. This is a great mystery. I speak concerning Christ and church. Nevertheless, that everyone in particular so love his wife as himself, and see the husband reverence, she the wife reverence her husband. We're just about finished here, about the 1 minute. But you see, the reverence in here is not a word where she's going to fall down her face and pretend he's God, but she's going to have respect for him because that is there. So that's what we're looking at this point. We've got to close tonight now. But you can see we're moving from where there is any thought of one being superior to the other by reason of simply being a male or a female. Or I'm a man, she's a woman, she better do so-and-so. I'm going to do so-and-so. It's all right here in the Word, where under God they had a co-equality. And today, although there is not a co-equality in the realms that God has set to one side, there is a union of love and kindness where the woman does not live under any tension. She's off the hook, and it's up to the man now to be the leader and the helper the way he should be. So you see, we're looking at here in this picture, no such thing as inferiority. No woman has an inferiority complex around here any more than a man has a superiority complex. But remember, we're placed in certain positions and God holds us to it. And we must not get out of that position. Because when we do, trouble will start.